Mr. Craig Webb, president of Webb Analytics, the foremost data and research consultancy in the LBM industry. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm excited you made time, and I'm even more excited that you're going to be in San Diego October 18th to the 20th with me and a lot of other folks for the WCLBMA's annual convention in San Diego. That's going to be a lot of fun. But today, I think we wanted to just share some insights. You've had some really unique perspectives. You've done a ton of research on the Construction Supply 150 that we'll talk about. But I think before we jump in there, I was fascinated and jealous, if I'm being honest. You went to Germany to hear from people around the world about different ideas of what they're doing that's relevant to our listeners here. So maybe tell us a little bit about how that opportunity came up and maybe what you learned from there.
Well, the reason I went to this event, it's called the Global DIY Summit, and it brings together about 1,000 executives from 55 countries around the world who all run home centers that are sometimes huge and sometimes very, very successful, rivaling what we see over here. I did it in part because last year I got a new client from Finland who wants to bring products to the United States. Wow. And he had run into a consultant named Jim Inglis, who was the original merchandising manager for Home Depot. And Jim actually comes from San Diego. And so there's that connection too. And I learned more about the summit and decided that I wanted to see what's going on in the rest of the world. My gig is trends and threats and opportunities. And so I wanted to learn about those things from other parts of the world. And when I came back, I wrote a story about eight different things that I came away with and also got some sort of deeper trends that are happening.
Maybe tell me a little bit about robotics and where I think many of us might have seen this headless robot dog that is on more and more commercial job sites. And I see that and I'm like, all right, what would be the application in theory in the world that we're living in here? And you gave me a really interesting use case that I thought, okay, yeah, that could absolutely work here. You mind sharing that?
Right. There was an exhibit from a company based in Chile that is doing work for the biggest DIY center collection of companies in South America, Latin America, from Mexico to Argentina, called Sodimac. And they have a robot from this company called Zipity, which is actually now headquartered in San Francisco, that goes up and down the aisles, and it looks to see not only how much is stocked at the very top shelves, but also how well the company, that particular branch, is doing with pricing, whether it's out of stock on certain items, whether it is the planograms are even matching what the planograms should be. And then the central office for Sodimac looks at each branch and uses that to find out who's sort of out of program, who's not doing what the central office wanted them to do, who needs to work a little harder at stocking or getting their prices up to date. So that's an example of using technology in combination with huge amounts of data to put things together. One thing I didn't mention before we started, probably one of the most fascinating companies to me that could easily be picked up in the United States is a Japanese company called Good Day, G-O-O-D-A-Y. The Japanese love to use American and English words, so Good Day. When the current chief executive took over in 2008, there was no technology to consist of. They had to print out 10,000 pages of information for their monthly managers meeting.
Wow.
And they couldn't afford to start off. And what this guy does, what Good Day did was basically take every single part of the free stuff Google offers. They put all their documents on Sheets and Word and Gmail and then took advantage of some other technology. And they did largely something that actually Orgill's central office did when they created Central Network Retail Group, CNRG. The goal there was to have such a low expense in the central office that rebates would pay for the entire central office. And these folks did the same thing. They have 63 stores, $280 million in sales, and virtually everything they did was free software. So I'm thinking there are other places that could probably take advantage of these things as well.
Yeah, I think you're so right. Is I feel like every month or two, there's something new that comes out that's free, that's available as a tool. I always kind of run through that quick analysis of, do I understand what this is? And if it's free, that means to some extent, I am the product. What data am I giving away? But also, yeah. Is there a way that we can speed our own development in this based on what other people have done or giving away for free? And I agree. I think in our industry, there's more of a hesitancy to stay with the status quo, even if it's less than ideal, than try something new.
Right. And when you talk to hardware stores and other people around the United States, you start realizing that, for example, YouTube became their production facility. Mm-hmm. And they started creating wonderful YouTube videos. So yeah, there's a lot of those kinds of things that are happening that are good. The other thing that I would say that fascinated me about going to Berlin was the fact that there were all these green messages, and mm-hmm. people talked about sustainability, and they talked about actually trying to be good for the planet. And there is a big drive going on to go beyond electric forklifts and electric cars, or to buy your stuff by wind power. They've created a task force in which they are basically going to be asking manufacturers and other people, how much greenhouse gas are you producing as you create this product? And why are you still selling it if it's that much of a polluter? This is a trend that I think in the United States, we've tended to poo-poo because of all the talk about ESG. But mm-hmm. I think this is something that's going to have legs, especially when you're in a hot place like Dallas or Washington, D.C. right now, and you're thinking, you know, ooh, maybe global warming actually does have something behind it.
Well, and I think specifically for the WCLBMA and our members in California, is that there are many, many instances over the years where things kind of start in Europe, they kind of migrate in some fashion to California, and the rest of the country looks at California and says, those guys are crazy, until whether it's safety standards or sustainability, it comes and it impacts the rest of that country. So I think looking and understanding that what might be the future in the state of California could very well be the future for, you know, the other 49 states too.
Yeah, certainly a decade ago, when it came to at least even understanding what was going on in your products, California was way ahead of the game. Mm-hmm. And yeah. that background knowledge is going to be helpful now.
Yeah. Well, maybe let's transition here to AI, artificial intelligence, a little bit.
Right.
As you were talking about kind of the robot kind of going down and scanning the rows, not only could that absolutely help headquarters, but that it can also help, you know, the vendors that are saying, hey, I'm trusting that this end cap is in place showing this product with this messaging. And then you talk to the local dealership or you talk to the salesperson for the distributor and find out that may or may not be happening. We recently had a conversation with the senior director of analytics at PrimeSource on how he built his team from scratch, how they are trying to leverage analytics and insights from that for their own benefit, for the benefit of their customers. When you look at this whole world of AI, and obviously there's a lot of different tentacles that go out from that, what do you think is most relevant that for our listeners here in the WCLBMA, you might think that, hey, this is, if it's not already here, you're not already thinking about it, this might be coming soon and you should think about it.
I think that there are several different things about AI that I've been concluding recently. The first is that AI doesn't necessarily bring you more money, but it may cut your costs. Hmm. And you can slice a sliver here, you can slice a sliver there. And if you're a 4% net profit dealer and you get to 5%, that's a 25% increase in your profit. But it's not necessarily going to do for you what a change in lumber prices would do. So you do have that to think about. I think that more of its benefits are going to be with those who are data friendly and can understand how to improve their key performance indicator dashboards and the like. People who don't have technology at all or are only now thinking about e-commerce, you know, they need to crawl before they can walk. So I don't think they should really even think of the word AI anytime soon. But the others, you can ask themselves, you know, well, how can we make things a little better? How can we, for example, if I have to write 10 different emails that I will send out at various times to remind a customer that it's time to pay, why not use AI and ChatGPT to help me craft each of those messages? And it might save, you know, an hour out of a 3-hour task. Mm-hmm. You still got to do the task. It's still going to take you some time, but if it saves you a little bit of time, yeah, you can go that way. It's going to help you learn a little bit more about customers. I think AI is also going to help us in the constant monitoring of things. Mm-hmm. The one thing I keep hearing about is that nobody spends enough time checking the credit of their customers and checking the status of their customers. I think AI can provide that kind of a service. It can keep looking, and then it can point out to you, hey, this person out of this needle out of this haystack needs to be thought about.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that, Craig, but I think you're absolutely right. When you think about fundamentally, what is AI? Well, these are algorithms that you can, you know, design to run at certain times. And whether they run every day or every 60 minutes or once a week, it doesn't matter, right? They're just going to do that and collect it. And over time, if they're doing a little bit of machine learning, they can start thinking that Craig Webb was a phenomenally reliable and dependable credit score as a customer. However, this trend is going down slowly, and we have 150 data points over the last 6 months. No salesperson is doing this. No credit person is doing this.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Those things where you mentioned, what'd you say? You said risks and opportunities. That's like a risk that we can just deploy to someone. It should be an algorithm. We should not have a human being doing that.
There was a famous study back in the 1980s or 1990s in which somebody discovered that at convenience stores, there was a deep connection late at night between buying beer and buying diapers. It was called the beer and nappies discovery. And people just stumbled upon it by accident. You know, what AI can do is AI can find beer and nappies examples automatically for you that you might not have thought about. I mean, people talk about selling the whole house, but maybe there are things that are going on. You know, the classic is, do you want fries with that hamburger? Mm-hmm. But, you know, that makes sense. But there probably are other things that we haven't thought about, that there are connections for which there are opportunities out there that AI, by sorting through things, are going to find for us. Once again, will it, you know, make the difference in the business? Will it make you a gazillionaire? No. Will it maybe add an extra 0.25% to your profit? Not bad. Mm-hmm. It's extra dollars.
Yeah. In our industry, if we kind of look backwards from the subcontractors and the builders and then up to the dealers, we have an industry where it is very, very common. Every single day, we'll have people standing around. We will have a whole series of material that we could install, but we're missing a few small pieces. And I say, you jump in your truck and go grab this. This happens every single day like clockwork. And an AI, simple thing that we all know from Amazon, like a recommendation engine, you've bought A, B, and C, and D, you're probably going to need E, even if E is counterintuitive, or you're like, oh, I totally didn't think about that. But I think that's low-hanging fruit. And then if you can just solve, 5% of those instances or 10% of those, throughout that value chain, it's just incredible. And having been, you know, the lackey on the job site who didn't know anything, but I knew how to drive and I knew where Home Depot was, go there, buy this. Like eliminating just a few of those could have a big impact.
Yeah. I think dealers are very good at costs of goods sold. Mm-hmm. I think that they are nowhere near as good at cost of doing business. Mm. You know, how many companies even take a look at how their sales reps spend their time?
Yes. Well, and that's where we talk about AI. I've been using ChatGPT. I kind of was making jokes about it for maybe kind of Q4 of 2022. And then I had an illumination moment with a guy that I met in April. And I've been using it every week, almost every day since, in some cases, just on a few emails or on some research. But we do have an industry of sales professionals that for the most of them, their strong suit is not leveraging technology, a keyboard, and communicating well. And just having a resource, having a tool in the toolbox that can help them do that, even if it saves 5, 10, 20 minutes a day, I think that could, you know, that opportunity cost could open up other things.
Well, you know, my longstanding theory that I presented that a number of people who get into construction supply sales actually are dyslexic or have learning disabilities or are just bad spellers. And because it's for so many years, you were able to make a living in construction supply with your mouth alone.
Yeah.
And a spiral bound notebook.
Yep.
And now we can go beyond that. One thing I should point out also with AI that was brought up by one ERP company was that one of AIA's great roles is probably going to be to help clean up your data. Hmm. You know, how many times do you think people have entered accounts or new accounts in the system and they spelled somebody's name wrong? Or they got the address wrong. Mm-hmm. And so the account shows up 1, 2, 3 times in the system. I think AI is going to probably help us spot those and help us clean up and have what Chris Rader calls data hygiene. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to have better data hygiene. And consequently, you know, there's less garbage in, so there's less garbage out in our reports.
Yeah, the other thing I'll just mention here before we move on is there's a member, I think he'd probably be comfortable if we mention him, but I won't for now. Member of the WCLBMA that a lot of people know, and they're a thought leader. They've hired someone who has the expertise in analytics. And they basically said, hey, we got a lot of data. We're not doing much of it, much of anything with it. Your job's to come in here and let's thrash around a little bit, see what sort of insights that we have. I think that kind of who, not how mindset of, we know how we're going to try to get insights from the data. We just don't know who's going to do that. Well, we can invest in that. And I'm not sure, Craig, I think in the next few years, we're going to have folks going down to your neighborhood to hire somebody out of Georgetown or Harvard to run our analytics department. But I think more and more this next generation is being raised with some higher analytical skills with data and technology. And they would love to come in there and see all this data and no one's touched it, I think could be exciting to bring in new talent as well.
I agree. I've talked for a while about how we're going toward more and more what I call the Hot Wheels economy. You know, when you were a kid, the great advantage of having Hot Wheels was that you could make that thing go faster and faster and it could you know, do loop-de-loops and the like. The trouble with Hot Wheels is that if you got the track a little bit off, the car would fly off the track and crash into your mother's china cabinet. So Hot Wheels allowed you to operate faster and more efficiently and more in a more exciting way than ever before. However, the danger of an error was much greater than it was before. But I think that in order for construction supply to succeed, we have to operate faster and faster, more efficiently and more mm-hmm. efficiently, and thus also have systems to help us make sure the guardrails are in place. Yeah. Those things are just part of life now.
Yeah. Well, I'm watching the time here. Why don't maybe you give us a little insight here? You're coming out to San Diego again. The WCLBMA annual convention is October 18th to the 20th. In addition to obviously Craig, you're there. We are going to have, I believe, I had ChatGPT run this research. However, it's not perfect, so I do want to double check it. I do believe the person who's doing one of the keynotes before you is the only human ever to have 4 Super Bowl rings, a Purple Heart, and a Silver Star. So if there happens to be one other, the list is only like 12 people, so I'll finalize that. But a lot of action, a lot of insights are going to be there. Can you maybe give us a little hint about what you're going to be talking about? Because when I think of acquisitions and conglomeration in our industry, you are the person I go to figure out what the hell's going on if I happen to not pay attention for a week and a half. So maybe give a little insight of what you're going to be talking about, your keynote, and you know, why anyone listening who knows they're busy is going to say it's more than going to be worth it for you to make time to come down there to join us in San Diego.
I should also ask that your guest speaker at one point, I lived within 3 miles of where your guest speaker first made his claim to fame. So I'll just do that as a teaser. Web analytics is all about the trends and threats and opportunities affecting construction supply dealers. And my job is to help spot them and then help dealers respond to them. Lately, I've been sort of sorting things into five or six different categories that all start with the letter P. Prospects, what's going to happen economically, where we expect things to go. People, what's happening as we're looking for people and where we're finding people around the country, sometimes in unusual ways and sometimes in ways that I didn't expect. Prices, in the sense that what's happening with the supply chain? Are we still having problems? I just saw a notice today that said price increases are continuing for manufacturers, so that's not going away. Products, what's happening new on the product front that people should be aware of, different ways of doing things, different ideas. And finally, processes. And, you know, how can we do things better? What are the trends and styles that we need to be aware of? So those five P's are probably going to be the things that I will be talking about then. Of course, everything's going to be changed between now Correct. And then.
Yes.
So there's every speech I give is a brand new speech because it's a brand new day. Yeah. But by the time people come out of it, I hope that they will have at least an idea of what they can look forward to or dread happening over the next 18 months ahead so that they can plan ahead.
Yeah, and I think what the value that I've gotten from seeing you speak over the years and reading your content is understanding that in some markets, in some competitions we have in certain regions of the country, what can be an opportunity and kind of, hey, we can move on this a little bit, can really quickly move to become a risk or a threat
right.
if we don't
right.
act upon it. And, you know, whether we're going back 25 years or we're going, you know, back 25 months, I think we can all kind of find examples of those. So anyway, I appreciate you making time. I'm thrilled we're going to be together in San Diego. Again, that is October 18th to the 20th. It's at the Hard Rock Hotel in San Diego. It's going to be a fantastic event. If you have not signed up already, you will absolutely want to do that. And Craig Webb, thank you very much. I do want to maybe just, we didn't talk specifically about a call to action. If you are listening to this or you are watching this and you have not already downloaded and reviewed Craig Webb's Construction Supply 150, you are absolutely missing out. There's a ton of data in there. Craig, just curious, what does your annual cycle look like once you get that out? How soon do you start again? Because there's so much data. And by the way, the design of that document is fantastic.
Well, I give a lot of credit to the designer. One of the first goals in life is to find people smarter than yourself to help bring those things together. In some ways, the Construction Supply 150 is a year-long project. I'm spending a little bit of time on it every day compiling the information that goes into it. But really starting around late January when people start adding up how they did the year before, I have that. By the time I get to late March and early April, I have literally told my wife to go on a vacation for 2 weeks because she's not going to see me anyway. And then it's pretty much day and night, real, real hard crunching. People could help if they could send in the data a little faster than they do normally, but you know, there's a lot of cajoling that goes on too.
Yes.
And a lot of interpretation mm-hmm. of the data. By May 1st, it's out the door, and hopefully people are taking advantage. It's the first, it's the biggest, it's the most easily available public data on what's happening in our industry. So I hope that people take advantage of it.
Well, and they should. Whenever I do that, I put in my information on the link. Surely getting compensated somewhere. I should be paying for this information, and I'm not. So thank you and for your whole team.
Well, we thank our sponsors for making that possible.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Please patronize our sponsors.
You got it. All right. Well, Craig Webb, thank you for making time. Excited to see you here in October.
Best of luck. Take care.